Open your Bibles to John's Gospel tonight. The Gospel of John, chapter 2. I want to say thank you for allowing us to be here today. We've certainly enjoyed the fellowship. And we trust that the Lord will help us be a help to you. Somebody said in the local church, local church ought to emphasize three hymns. The H-I-M book, which is the Word of God, the King James Bible. And then you should have the right H-Y-N-N book. And if you've got the right H-I-M book and sing from the right H-Y-M-N book, then it ought to affect the H-E-M line. All right. So keep those hymns right. Amen. John chapter 2, verse 1. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins of peace. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast calleth the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. Thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and the disciples believed on him. I'd like you to pray with us, and we'll let God direct our thoughts. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and we're grateful for the privilege of having a copy. Most of us have several copies. We thank you, dear Lord, for blessing us by allowing us to have the Word of God. But Lord, would you remind us of our obligation, our responsibility, not only to read it, but to heed it. And I pray that He, the Holy Spirit, would take the things of Christ and reveal them to us. I pray that you would not allow the familiarity of this passage to cause folks to be a little less attentive, but may you speak directly to each heart and accomplish your purpose. And we'll praise you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I am interested in this passage of Scripture. There's several things that I'd like to say before I get to the main part, but probably out of the text I've read, probably verse number 5 is maybe the most outstanding. Mary is speaking to the servants. She says to them, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. So I just want to simply preach a little message tonight on doing what he says. Now, in the midst of this, the Bible introduces our account tonight of the marriage feast in Cana of Galilee. And the Lord Jesus is invited and his disciples. It's always right for the Lord to be included in any new beginning. Hebrews 13:4, the Bible said, marriage is honorable in all, in a bed and defiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. God defines marriage.
We don't need the Supreme Court to define marriage. We don't need a president to define marriage. We have the Word of God. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Amen. Yes. The Lord Jesus Christ not only defines marriage, but He defends marriage. He said it is honorable. Hallelujah to God. I could preach on the home for just a little bit. He said, marriage is honorable in all, bed undefiled, but He denounces marital infidelity.
Yes.
He said, whoremongers and adulterers God will judge.
Yes,
and by the way, that's still in the book.
Right.
And God still meant what He said.
Yeah.
And He still will judge those who violate His word.
Amen.
That's what I want to preach of. I'm interested tonight in this account of the Lord Jesus turning water into wine. You understand that He did not turn water into an intoxicating beverage. But He turned water into wine. The Bible said this was the beginning of miracles. There's some important characters in this account. There's Mary that speaks to the servants. Could anybody tell me what the servants' names were? Anybody know? Their names were not given because their names were not important. Sure, as I'm standing here tonight, had their names been given, we'd had two other movements. Amen. At least. So how many servants were they? How many of you guess? I'd say at least two. I don't know if it was more than that, but it was two because it said servants. Mary said to the servants, we don't know who they were. We don't know how many they were. But Mary said to the servants, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. I'm telling you tonight, as God's people, here's where we miss the mark. You said, I expect something deep. I don't preach that way. Dr. B.R. Lakin used to say, put down the bottom shelf where the boys and girls can get it, and the others will be able to handle it. I'm not here to try and impress you, but there's a truth, just one little truth I want to emphasize tonight. The importance of doing what He says. I'm going to let you in a little secret. The Lord Jesus allowed those servants to get in on the ground floor of the first miracle. What about that? It might be that you're just on the very verge of a miracle. But you got to do what He says. We have revival tonight if we do, each of us do what He says. It's not that we don't know. The problem tonight is we're not doing. Austin, is that your name, Austin? So you're graduating. He'd have never got to where he is had he not done something. He had to fulfill some obligations, some responsibilities, some requirements to get to that point in his life. I want to say tonight, I congratulate you for your achievement coming to that place. The most important thing in your life and the life of everybody else in this building is the will of God. I remember Dr. Bruce Lackey preaching in chapel one morning at Tennessee Temple a long, long time ago. He preached on Acts 22, verse 14. And in that verse it said, the God of our fathers, it was Ananias speaking to Saul of Tarsus. And he said, and Ananias said unto Saul, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou should know his will. No, no. He said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou should see his face, hear his voice, be his witness. That is the will of God. Ephesians 5:17 said, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, there's a lot of people who think they know what everybody else ought to be doing. I have them tell me that. I said, strange thing, you know, the Lord had to come right by my house to get to your house. I wonder why he didn't tell me. God has a will for your life. Psalm 143:10. The psalmist said, teach me to do thy will, O God, for thou art my God. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. God has a right, a responsibility, an obligation to reveal his will. Now, there's a lot of folks want to make it so hard to find God's will. And I want to suggest to you, the older you get, sometimes it seems like it's more difficult to discern the will of God. But God has a will. God has a blueprint. God has a plan. And you'll never be useful for God as he wants you to be unless you're dead center the will of God. Now, I pastored for over 30 years. I said back before I became a pastor, I will never pastor. I made that statement at Highland Park. I will never pastor. God's called me to be an evangelist. And so I only pastored a little over 30 years. And so I've been in evangelism the last 12 years. But now I'm going to say to you tonight, I was in the will of God, serving as associate pastor in my home church for 2.5 years. I was in the will of God in the pastorate for over 30 years. I'm in the will of God tonight in evangelism. You couldn't talk me out of it. I'm in the will of God. Now, there's a satisfaction, like our brother said, he's doing the will of God. I asked him, I said, how did you get to California? And he said, God directed me that way. God called me. God sent me. And by the way, there's a constellation in your heart of knowing I am doing what God has called me to do. But it's not just for preachers. It's for all of us. Now, let me give you a little introduction. I've got one big point in the middle of the message, but I've got some other points by way of introduction. Let me say this. The Lord Jesus Christ said in the Gospel of John, chapter number 14, I believe it is. He said, John 14:15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. So if I want to know joy, if I want to have peace, if I want to have blessing in my life, then I must do his will. If I want to be well pleasing to him, then I must do what he says. And it'll be a good day in your life if you remember this, that if you're saved by the grace of God, you are a servant. Amen? Oh, he said, I'm a deacon. No, you're a servant. Say, I'm a preacher. No, you're a servant. Say, I'm a teacher. You're a servant. Before all that, you're just a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm his servant. He's my master. I'm his child. He's my Lord. I'm saying this. I must do what he says do. If we live in obedience to the will of God, then if we allow that to rule our lives and we can be filled with the glory of his life, his presence, his power, and his blessings in our life. But Mary said to the servants, now how many were they? We don't know. What was their names? We don't know. But we do know that they were servants, and we do know that Mary spoke to them. Now, can I say to you, I want you to consider with me, first of all, whatsoever he saith, we ought to do, however contrary it might seem to us. Shake your head so I can hear it. I'm saying, regardless of how contrary it might seem to us, God speaks to us personally. God speaks to us with a purpose in mind. And God speaks to us according to his principles, God speaks to us. Now, consider with me the fact that God does speak to us today. Now, he doesn't speak audibly like he did in that case because they were physically in the presence of the Lord. But he does speak to us. There's times when we're reading the Word of God and it seems like the words that leap off the page and sing in our heart. And God speaks to us. God does speak to us today. Are y'all with me? Somebody said, well, you scared me to death. You talking about God talking to you. He never talks to me. I'd be ashamed to admit that. Because it indicates a real spiritual need in your life. God does speak to us, and so he speaks to us just as he spake to those servants. God speaks to us now. But how does he speak? He speaks to us authoritatively. Luke 6:46, Jesus said, "Why then do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say unto thee?" And could I tell you, there's several reasons, but I believe at the top of the list is that there's a lot of folks calling him Lord that do not know him as Lord. They know the language, but they do not know the Lord. I'm not your judge. Oh, no, no, no. But there's a one in heaven that you'll stand before. And there's a lot of folks that will say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? We've cast out devils in thy name. We've done many wonderful works in thy name." And Jesus said, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." He didn't say, "I knew you one time, I forgot you." No, no, no. He said, "I never knew." And so there's some folks who call him Lord and does not the things that he say because they don't know him as Savior. There's some people call him Lord and do not the things they say, but do not the things they say because they're out of the will of the Lord. And I can elaborate on that, but I'm not preaching that tonight. I'm saying to you, if he's the Lord, then he has a sovereign right to dictate in your life, in my life. Yeah, I suggest the vessels this morning, we're vessels. God has a right. And by the way, the placement of the vessel is according to the potter.
Right.
Not all vessels are the same size. But the placement of the vessels and the purpose of the vessels, all of them, is to bring glory to God. So don't be envious because your vessel is not, you said, there's a bigger than mine. There's a bigger than mine. No, no, you're just a vessel. And so understand this. He speaks to us authority. What he says is the final word. So I said, he's the final authority. It's the only authority for the child of God. Now, if we know him as our Lord, then why do we question what he says? I would say to you tonight, if we would just do what we know God wants us to do, but we allow pride to enter in, we allow our selfish feelings to enter in, and we're not doing what God said to do. Hello? And by the way, understand, I didn't say you, I said we. Come back with me again. We should do what he says, do for what he says and invest it in with all the authority of who he is. He is Lord. You can't, come back here. You can't make him Lord. He was Lord before you got saved. He's Lord after you got saved. I cannot run every rabbit that jumps up, but I was over in North Carolina. And this fellow said, "Well, you preach lordship to salvation, and you're preaching heresy." I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And are you listening to me? I believe semantics gets involved in that in definitions. But I believe this. I believe no one gets saved until they totally submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody all right? Come back with me now. He speaks. He's my Lord. He's my master. He's my king. So he speaks to me. I'm his servant. And so he speaks to us authoritatively, but he speaks to us personally. Now, and you know why I'm saved tonight? I got saved June 14th, 1960 on a Friday night. I didn't go to get saved. I went to see my girlfriend. I met my wife on the school bus in 1958, 59. She is saved and I was lost. She invited me to go to church with her. I invited her to go with me. I joined the Methodist church when I was 12. I went through their sprinkler system. I went through their catechism classes. Lost as a ball in high woods. So I took her to Methodist church with me one time. And she said, why don't you go to church with me? And just tell you the truth about it, I wasn't interested in church anyway. So I was interested in being with her. So she's working at a youth camp. And I went to see her on Friday night, June 14, 1960. Just had graduated from high school. And in the youth camp, the man of God preached that book. I mean, he preached it straight and clear. And God directed the message to my heart. And while I'm sitting there back there minding my own business, the Holy Ghost came to where I was. And he tugged at my heart and he said, whosoever will may come. And I said, I believe a will. Could I say to you, hey, could I say to you? You said, I don't believe it's that simple. It's not that complicated.
That's right.
Oh no, it's a matter. I came to him and he saved me by his marvelous grace. And when I knelt, the blood fell.
Yeah. Amen.
You can't talk me out of it. Hallelujah. Could I say, I'm saying tonight, when I got saved, God changed my life.
Yeah.
I don't believe anybody gets saved without being changed.
That's right.
It's like our black preacher friend said, if you is what you was, you ain't. I'm saying to you tonight, if you get born again by the grace of God, you pass from death into life, become a new creature, receive a divine nature, likened to Christ, have a desire for the things of Christ. Don't tell me you're saved to still run with the same crowd, drink the same Budweiser, and tell the same dirty jokes, and live the same immoral life. Oh no, I'm telling you, that old dog won't hunt. I'm telling you tonight, when you get saved, God changes your life. You're no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. And so, I'm interested in hearing from God. Now, I preach several meetings, and I'm in church every week, sometimes every day, sometimes more than one time a day. But I want God to speak to my heart. I'd be bothered if I went to church and God didn't speak to me. I want the Lord. He speaks to us. Now, come back. He spoke to the servants. Mary didn't know what he said to them. He spoke to the servants, and the governor didn't know what he said to them. Come on. He spoke to the servants, and the guests didn't know what he said to them. But the servants knew. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you tonight, when God speaks to you, you'll know it. You won't have to go home and get a commentary or get a dictionary. No, no. You'll know God read your mail. God spoke to your heart. God put his finger upon the button. God speaks to us personally. He speaks to us and others do not know. Now, as a preacher, as a pastor, your pastor and these other men who preach can tell you this, when you're preaching the Word of God, the Spirit of God will give you some insight about God dealing in some hearts, and hearts are troubled. But we might not know what He said to them. But I'm going to tell you, you know. You know why you're saved tonight? Because the Holy Ghost brought you to the place where you recognize you're lost. You can't be saved without being lost. He speaks to us authoritatively. He speaks to us personally. He speaks to us comprehensively. That is, Mary said to those servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, he speaks to us about little details in life. Does God speak to you about little details? Oh, yeah. We expect God to speak to us about the big problems of life, but I'm telling you, the Lord's interested in anything that touches your life. And he speaks to us about the little things. And there are no details that's connected with your life or my life about which the Lord does not speak to us. If you want to know whether it's right or not, the way you dress, ask him. He'll tell you. Hello? Dr. Harry Einstein said it's one thing for a bird to fly over your head, but it's another thing for a bird to build a nest in your hair. And temptation is not sin. But when you yield to temptation, that bird's already built a nest there. He speaks to us instrumentally. Speaks to us authoritatively, personally, comprehensively. So he speaks to us instrumentally. That is, he speaks to us through others. How often we hear the voice of the Lord through the wise and helpful counsel of our friends. And so I want some counsel, so I'm not going to go to somebody that I already know will agree with me. I want some counsel. And by the way, when I go, I want it to be confidential, don't you? I'm grateful that I can go to him and ask questions and bare my heart, and it won't show up at the next preacher's meeting.
Amen.
It won't be an illustration in the next message. Hello? And they're not your friend unless they turn your problem into a prayer. You're welcome. I'm going somewhere. This is an introduction. I'm saying, so we must recognize that the Lord often guides us through the counsel of other Christians. But he speaks to us providentially. I've talked about the providence of God this morning. That is, he through the daily happenings and circumstances of our life by closing one door and opening another door. But be careful. Not every open door is an open door of the Lord. I got friends in evangelism. They're pushing and shoving to try to get meetings. Now, as an evangelist, you've got to have new contacts and get in new churches if you're going to survive or stay busy. But I believe this. I believe the God who called me, the God who saved me, can lay it upon the heart of a man somewhere and down the road somewhere in another state to have me for a meeting if that's God's will. Because the Holy Ghost is my booking agent. And so I don't make it a habit of calling preachers and asking if I can come preach for them. I don't believe that. When I was a pastor, if folks called me that way, it just meant they never would preach for me. Everybody all right? I'm saying he speaks to us through what we read. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words that I speak to you, they're spirit and they're life. Could I tell you that your novel is not spirit and life? And the daily newspaper is not spirit and life? And your internet postings are not spirit and life? And Facebook's not spirit and life? Hello, everybody all right? I'm saying God speaks to us personally. He speaks to us what we read, what we hear, what we see. And if we're not listening, listen, we'll fail to hear his voice. So he speaks to us basically, primarily, you know this, and I know this. He speaks to us basically through the Word of God. The Word of God is divine in origin. It's living in nature. It's powerful in operations, final in judgment. It's clear in its demands. And so I'm saying to you, God speaks to us through his Word. Anything which we feel to be the voice of God, which is contrary to the Word of God, we know that it is not the voice of our God. And so then he speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. And I could dwell a long time there, but when Paul and Barnabas was in the church at Antioch, listen, they were ministering, fasting and praying, ministering, involved in the church at Antioch, a local church. And the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them. And by the way, the Holy Ghost still does that. I'm burdened today about preachers that are sitting by the multitudes in local churches. They're not doing anything for God. If God's called you to preach, get busy doing what God said do. You're welcome. So I'm saying we see in the book of Acts the constant renewing, unerring direction that is given by the Holy Ghost to the servants of the Lord. He said to Philip, won't you leave Samaria, go down into Gaza. Who's doing that? Spirit of God. And God's interested in one black man that had been up to the temple to worship and came back empty. And he's reading the book of Isaiah. And Philip said, understand what thou readest. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he took the word of God. And in the same place, he preached unto him, Jesus Christ. Thank God he got born again by the grace of our God. Can I say, they came to a pool of water. It wasn't a cup of water. It was enough water for him to go down into. And he said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believe with all that heart, thou mayest. And he said, I believe. What's he doing? Upon the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And this is the second point of the message. This is where I want to talk. I want you to consider with me the fact tonight that all that the Lord says to us has a threefold relationship or effect. Now don't lose that. All that God says to us has a threefold relationship or effect. So God said to those servants, you said, God? Yeah, Jesus, God. He said to those servants, fill the water pots with water. They did not need water. They were short on wine. Could I tell you tonight, we get too much human reasoning in it. They did not. They're short on wine. W-I-N-E, wine. And Jesus said to those servants, what was their names? We don't know. How many were they? We don't know. At least two. But he's talking to those servants. Can anybody miss that? Talking to the servants. Speaking directly, personally to them. He said, fill the water pots with water. Can you imagine how awkward that had been? Here's, that's strange. They're short of wine. He said, fill the water pots with water. But you know what they did? They filled the water pots with water. He said, that's not too deep. I know it's not. But we miss it. God said to those servants, fill the water pots with water. How much they put in. They filled it right up to the brim. I don't believe they could put another drop in. If their names had been given, one said, I believe I put more in than you did. Hello? Could I tell you tonight it's important that you do what God says do. And if I do what God says do and you do what God says do, there'll be some amazing results. There'll be some miraculous things taking place. Dr. James Crumpton used to talk about the matter being filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And Dr. Crumpton liked Coca-Cola. And he said, I like it when it has even the little pieces of ice particles in it. And he said, if you had a glass and you fill the glass right up to the, he said, right up to the tippy top of Coca-Cola. And said, if somebody were to bump into you, guess what would come out? And we know Coca-Cola. And he used that as an analogy to talk about the filling of the Holy Ghost of God. Now, the Lord Jesus said to the servants, now what were their names? We don't know. How many were they? Just two. Is two important to God? Yeah, one's important to God too. He said, fill the water pots with water. Let's fill the water pots with water. Unquestioning obedience. I can picture the crowd. I'm pretty sure they wasn't independent Baptists. Because had they been independent Baptists, they said, brother, we'll pray about that. Or we'll bring it up at the next business meeting. She said, fill the water pots with water. Let's fill it right up to the brim. They said, draw out now. And they drew out. And he said, bear to the governor. And they bore to the governor. You know what they're doing? What he said. Was that spectacular? No. Just common. Just practical, everyday thing. Just doing what he said. They're doing what he said. Fill the water pots with water. Draw out. Bear to the governor. Now, question. Was the water made wine in the pots? Did it become wine when they drew it out? Or did it become wine when they presented it to the governor? Could I tell you it doesn't matter? I don't know and you don't know. But I know this, that the lack of miracles in our day hinges upon the lack of obedience in the life of the servants of God. Now, please don't miss it. I've got three little final here. It's like that. Number one, when God speaks to your heart, regardless of what He says to you, if you will be obedient to Him, God is glorified.
Amen.
You know how many times? Every time.
Amen.
I read a passage. The Lord said, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, it'll not go unrewarded. You said, how silly. I tell you, that's why we are where we are tonight, and we need a touch of God in our lives, because we're not doing the things that we think is so insignificant, and there's nothing insignificant with God. So, when I do what God says to do, He is glorified. Is that not what Paul said? 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, if I'm not preaching for the glory of God, my preaching is in vain. And thank God for the good singing. I appreciate it. I wanted to say a word about that too. I thank God for all the good singing here. But if you're not singing for the glory of God, it's to no avail. Appreciate the good teaching. But if you're not teaching for the glory of God, to no avail. All glory is spoken in the judgment seat. So we're on the same page. Everything I do, if I do what God tells me to do, He is glorified through my obedience. Second, God speaks to my heart. I was in Erlanger Hospital. And Dr. J.R. Faulkner was in the hospital. I went to visit Dr. Faulkner. I had a visitation partner with me, and we was going down the hallway, and the Spirit of God said, turn in that room. You said, does God do things like that? Yes. I turned in that room, and my visitation partner went on down. He didn't know what happened to me. He thought maybe the rapture took place. I turned into that room, and I met a man who was troubled about his soul, waiting for somebody to point him to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Now, we have a command to give the gospel to every creature. But you better recognize this. God, the Holy Ghost, will lay somebody particular upon your heart, or He'll put a burden upon your heart, or He'll direct you to a particular person or to do a particular thing. And if I do that, I am blessed. Amen. I'm blessed every day I live. I'm blessed. I'm saying doing, you said the instant, those little things? Yeah. Yeah. Doing what God says do. God is glorified. I want Him to be glorified through my life. Do you?
Amen.
When I do what God tells me to do, I'm blessed.
Sure.
Brother Pastor, when I preach for response. I want folk to respond. But I learned a long time ago that response is not hinging upon me. Response comes from God. And sometimes folk get some real help that never come to this altar. You better say amen.
Yeah, you're right.
But we rob ourselves and God. We rob Him of glory and ourselves of blessing because of our lack of response. Now, y'all still with me? The Lord spoke to those servants. He said, fill the water pots with water. What did they do? Fill them with water. He said, draw out. They drew out. He said, bear to the governor. They bore to the governor. And in doing that, God was glorified. They were blessed. But hold on a minute. Hold my mule.
Dear brother, God speaks to your heart about doing something. And you said, I'm going to do it. You don't question God. You just do it. He's glorified. But you're blessed. Nobody else might know anything about it. And by the way, there's a lot of things that God asks us to do that's not meeting the public eye. But I'm doing it, and I'm blessed. There's a sense of satisfaction. I've done what God said to do. I can pillow my head tonight and say, I've done what God said to do. But hold on. When I do what God tells me to do, God is glorified. I'm blessed. But others benefit. You know what happened? Those old boys, they said, we're just willing to be a water boy for God. They filled that water pot to the brim.
Yes, sir.
They drew out and bore to the governor. God was glorified. They were blessed. But everybody at the feast benefited.
That's right.
Why? Because there were servants sensitive to God, amen, listening to His voice, doing what He said, and God was glorified. They were blessed. And others benefited. And could I tell you, dear brother, if you do what God tells you to do, and you do what God tells you to do, there'll be no conflict. There'll be no friction. Because God knows what He wants you to do, and He knows what He wants you to do. And could I say, what God wants you to do, and what God wants you to do, that there's not any contention about it. No. God might want you to do a little thing, and God might want you to do something a little bit bigger, but I'm saying to you, the response ought to be the same. If God said, give a cup of cold water, if God said, give out a tract, if God said, knock a door, if God said, talk to that individual, that Lord, I'm doing what God said to do, and God,
I'm blessed, but everybody in the family gets benefits from it. Doing what God said to. How are we doing? Have I done today what God said do? God does speak to us. And when He speaks to us, there's a threefold effect or response. I'm doing what God says do. He's glorified. I'm blessed. Others are benefiting.
The night I got saved, it was an answer to prayer. For a lot of folk have been praying for me. I didn't even know about it. But they've been praying for me. And I got saved. Hallelujah. The Bible says there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents, more than 99 just persons that need no repentance. So there's rejoicing in glory. Well, there's rejoicing in the family. There's rejoicing in the church family. But there is rejoicing in those who have been praying for me and encouraged me and trying to help me. And hallelujah. We get in on it. You do what God says do. I do what God says do. No conflict. God's glorified. How many times? Every time. I'm blessed. How many times? Every time. Others are benefited. How many times? Every time I do what God says do. I'm going to give you one last little thought. I told you it wasn't deep. Somebody said, preacher made this statement. He said, Dr. Harold B. Seidler and Dr. Lee Robertson were not great preachers. They're good leaders, but wasn't great preachers. I thought to myself, oh boy, if you're that dumb, you ought to stay off the road. Somebody would run over you with an automobile. Those men probably forgot more than that young whippersnapper ever knew. But I'm telling you, Dr. Lee Robertson wasn't in competition with Bob Jones, wasn't in competition with any other preacher. Amen? Now, I respect men. I had the privilege of having some great men in my home, in my church, in my pulpit, and I could fellowship with them, and they're just servants. Dr. B.R. Lakin, Dr. Ruloff, Dr. Robertson, I could name name after name after name of people that God allowed to touch my life. And you know what they were doing? They're doing what God said do.
And I'm trying to do what God says, God told me to do. And I'm blessed. God's glorified. But a whole crowd of people benefited from my doing what God said to. Now, let me come back to the thought, the closing thought. It is this, the matter of how we should respond. How we should respond when God speaks to us. Well, we should respond with obedience. She said, Mary said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And I'm doing it without delay. John Bunyan said this. He said, the soul of religion is in the practice part. Is that what James said? He said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, the Bible said in 1 Samuel 15, 22, he said, to obey is better than sacrifice, hearken rather than the fat of land. And so, we do it not as our duty, but we do it as a delight, what God wants me to do. And so we should respond with complete obedience. Lord Jesus commanded them to fill the water pots, and they did, and they obeyed, and they filled them right up to the brim. There's a danger rendering to the Lord partial obedience, which is nothing less than disobedience. So we should respond to Him with unquestioned obedience. The word is whatsoever. That means we're to respond to Him, obey Him without question or dispute. And again, I want to say to you, the question tonight is this. Am I willing to do all that God's told me to do? By the way, there's a lot of folks that want to do big things for God, but unless you're willing to do the little things, God can't trust you with the big things. Simple account of the Lord Jesus turned the water into wine. He said, this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee. And the disciples believed on Him. The disciples believed on Him. Could I say tonight, there's a great dearth in our land, in our churches, because of our lack of obedience. The Spirit of God never leads us contrary to the Word of God. God does speak to our heart. And when He speaks to us, He does not speak to us teasing or just to tantalize us. But He speaks to us with a purpose in mind. And when I'm willing to do His will, and I have purpose in my heart to do His will regardless, the night I surrendered my life to the Lord, I said, sink or swim, survive or perish, I give you my all. And I've never regretted to this day of giving Him my all. What's God saying to you? What has He been saying to you? I believe God still calls young men, and God calls older men in the ministry. And God calls for a specific task. Sometimes we are trapped in the fact because of our age, because of our situation, because of finances, and we're not willing to step out by faith and do what God tells us to do. Regardless of how awkward or contrary it might seem, when God speaks to us, we must do what He says. Would you bow with us in prayer? Father, thank You tonight for the Word of God. Bless, I pray, these simple truths to our heart. Speak to us, Lord, personally, specifically. Help us, Lord, to obey without question, without reservation, without doubt. Pray that You bless our pastor in this invitation. Help us to be willing, Lord, just to do what You want us to do. For Christ's sake, we pray.